Thank you, Brother Cable. Well, we want to say we're happy to be with you these few days. And I was a little hesitant when Brother Cable called and asked, but I thought, now, Lord, I've been telling you I want to do anything and everything I can, as long as I can. So we felt like we could come and do our best. And I hope you haven't been afraid of us because of the coal that we brought with us and been fighting all the way through. But we're glad that the way the Lord has helped us. And we want to thank you for all your kindness. Those of you that went out to eat, and then we've been into your home to eat. And all the fellowship the people of God gives to those that know the Lord. And it's a privilege to be a part of the family of God. We enjoyed being in your pastor's and wife's home, beautiful home and lovely home. And there's some places you don't have to worry about, and the Cables is one of them. Everything is up to snuff, whatever that means. I don't know, but that means it's right up there. It's okay, but a nice accommodation and fellowship we've had and with you. And we're glad to be able to be here and worship with you. And I just trust in God will continue to move. Now, as far as the nightly services of this short revival will close tonight, but I'm just praying that this is not going to be the close of the revival, but the beginning of the revival that will just continue to go on. God still hears and answers prayer. Don't get discouraged. Thank God's not hearing, but keep on praying when it seems you're not receiving. Just keep on trusting in the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to drop down to verse 13. To begin our reading. Romans chapter 1. Would you like to stand together? You've been sitting for a while in honor of the word of God being read. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant brethren. There's that word brethren again. I look like I've touched that almost every night, and they're intentional, but there it is. Would not have you ignorant brethren that oft times I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. And so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now that last sentence would make a wonderful text, but that's not where I feel like we want to go tonight. But I want to go back to the first verse I read in your hearing, verse 13. Just two words. The words when he said, I purpose. And I want to endeavor to preach to you in this closing service on commitment unto Christ. Commitment to Christ. Our Father, we bow in your presence one more time. Thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day and your blessings upon us. Now as we come to this portion of the service, the ministry of the word, would you one more time come and anoint thy servant. Give us that touch that only you can give. Speak to our hearts and speak to the minds and the hearts of the people, and may your blessed will be done. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. We live in an hour when it's advocated to just give vent the way you feel, just turn loose and express yourself and just let go, and that's being advocated in the nation. And things are just demonstrating themselves. And that's in the political realm. That's in the schools. That's in the individual. Just be yourself. Just turn loose. Don't have anything hindering you doing what you want to do. But I believe that that may be the thing that needs to be more in the church. We need to be more involved than we are. And it's usually you talk about revival, continuing on revival. It's just a few that really gets under it. I'd say this, if you don't get anything else from the message tonight, if revival moves among you and in this church, it'll probably come through this group that's right here tonight. That's where it'll come from. And so, if that being the case, then we need to be more involved than we have ever been before. The world's not afraid to express itself and its feelings, and we shouldn't either. And so we need to be more committed and involved. I was thinking this evening there in our room, we had just been moved in on the district campgrounds in Oklahoma a few months until a car came driving into that entranceway right by that sign that said the campground and wholeness of the Lord, and right on down and pulled into the district parsonage and rung our doorbell and wanting to peddle their literature to me. And I thought, well, now, that's pretty brassy. That's pretty bold. I mean, they know what this is, but I did have to say is they were on the job. They were doing it. They were. As far as I'm concerned, it's all of a false teaching, and they may be sincere, but sincerely mistaken. But I thought on that, Lord, help us to learn a little bit from that. I don't believe the Lord wants us to be brassy and just obnoxious, but I believe he would have wanted us to be a little more forward in this late hour in which we live. Now, folks, we don't have much longer to work. And I, especially some of us older ones, if Jesus does tarry his coming, doesn't have a whole lot longer to work and do. But so God is looking for those that are committed to him, committed to his cause. And first of all, I want you to notice this commitment is a personal commitment. Paul said, I am a debtor. Now, he wasn't talking about the debt that most people in this day are talking about, where they're up to their ears in debt over things they bought that they don't need. But he's talking about the spiritual debt that he had. He had a real obligation to God. He had a debt to God Almighty. Why? God loved us while we were yet sinners. Not a one of us here tonight deserves the blessings and the mercies of God, but he loved us before we ever thought on him. He gave himself, he gave his son, and he gave the Holy Spirit that's tonight still actively engaged in doing his work upon the hearts and souls of men. So we are debtors to God. Then we're debtors to those early apostles. I read about them, those martyrs and those that gave their life for the testimony of Jesus Christ. They were persecuted, killed by the sword, and burned at stakes, and put in dungeons, and thrown to wild beasts. Why? For their testimony. They were committed to the cause of Christ. Then I think of some unknown down, our forefathers before us. I think of John Wesley and Martin Luther and those that blazed the way of Reformation. And then in the early days, and America was settled, and as the pioneers came west, those preachers that came with them and established the churches and those circuit riders that preached the gospel and were deprived of the necessities of life in order to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think of those in my life that had an influence and an impact upon me. I don't know if some of you, but probably this brother Ronald remembers Brother Tidwell, W.M. Tidwell, and those other early ones. I think of Brother Glenn Griffith and Albert Dodd and J.E. Cook and others down through the time that had impact on my life and on a lot of your life. They had impact on us. But I think also of the godly layman that had an input on my life. I think of the man that was saved late in life. He was a machinist at Halliburton Oil Well Cementing Company in Duncan, Oklahoma. But he got gloriously saved and called to preach And the thing about it, they didn't think that he qualified to preach. He only had a third grade education. But he had a love for God and for souls. He approached his district superintendent about a preaching appointment. He said, well, there's a little church out 2 miles west of Duncan, Oklahoma, a mile south, called Mount Zion. If you want to go out there and start services, you can. And so Brother and Sister Lee Ellis came out there, swept it out, announced revival. And when they had to go to that, come to that 2 miles west and turn south, right on that corner, they went by the Ross Farm where we lived. And they invited my parents to that revival, Brush Arbor Revival in the summertime. And in that Brush Arbor Revival, my mother got gloriously saved. I was a 3-month-old baby in her arms. She put me on a Methodist pallet on the straw on the ground and got saved. And not too long after that, she was searching for more of God. She never heard a message on holiness in her life. But the preacher started preaching on holiness. But before that time, she was praying, said, Lord, I know you saved me. I know that you've forgiven my sin, but I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. And one afternoon, her altar was an open window in a bedroom on the windowsill and praying. That was her altar. And as she prayed and yielded her all to God, something came down into her soul and swept over. And then when she heard that message about a second blessing, holiness, she said, that's what the Spirit whispered me. That's what I did for you that afternoon. Hey, friend, we don't have to hear it 100 years to enable to have a hunger for God and want him all that he has for us. Well, I tell you, I have a great debt to Lee Ellis. I had the privilege of twice preaching in his church for him. And I had the privilege of preaching, in New Guinea, perhaps to 1,200 people. And I preached at a general conference one time. And he never even got past the Brush Arbor stage much. But I want to tell you, one of the reasons why I'm here tonight is because a man was committed to God and he wanted to do something for God and wouldn't be satisfied just to stay in the big church down in the town and go along, but he wanted to reach out and do something for God. And so I have a debt tonight. And then you and I have a debt tonight to this generation. I was glad to see these young people come in, these children. You never know the possibilities that lie in those lives. And did you know they have a right to see the glory of God and the gospel demonstrated as you and I have seen in our lives? They have a right to see that. And it can come to pass if we have revival in our hearts. Oh, he said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to God. I'm a debtor to the Jesus. I'm a debtor to the Holy Ghost. I'm a debtor to this generation to give the gospel in the same measure that I have received it. But that's the personal commitment. But then not only that, it's what is the purpose of the commitment. He said, I am a disciple. I'm not only a debtor, but I am a disciple. He said, I am ready. 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 I don't know what God is wanting you to get ready to do, but every one of us here tonight, I don't care how young or how old, God has a plan. God has a purpose. He has something in mind for you and me that he wants us to do in this late hour in which we live. And when there's a commitment, personal commitment, the purpose is that there's a readiness to work. Why should we work? He said, work for the night cometh when no man can work. Oh, it's getting dark. It's not getting better. It's getting worse all the time. And so our time is short. Realize we don't know the day nor the hour. As we preached, mentioned it twice already in this revival, that when the Jesus is coming, but it's closer than it's ever been. And we need to get busy doing something for God. Then there's the reality of the gospel. I'm a disciple. I'm committed to you. I'm ready to preach if we're a preacher, ready to witness, ready to pray, ready to testify, ready to fast, ready to do something, ready to invest our lives in some children that you're doing here. I thank God for that. Just ready to do what God would have us to do. And then there may be some that say, well, I'm not talented. I don't have ability to teach. I don't have ability to sing. But every one of us have the ability to pray. 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 And that we overlook that. That's the most important thing that we can do is pray. Pray when the storm clouds gather overhead, hiding the light from you. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. And keep on praying until the light breaks through. God is hearing. God is listening. And he's anxious to answer prayer. That's the purpose of commitment. I am a disciple. I discipline myself. I purpose. And we do only what we want to do. Most people do exactly what they want to do if they want to do it bad enough. They'll get around to get it done. But not only is there the personal commitment and the purpose of the commitment, being a disciple, but then there is the product of commitment. It says, I am dedicated. I'm not ashamed. Now, no doubt, every one of us here tonight, there's some things in our lives that we're probably ashamed of. Everyone, no doubt, before we got saved, were things that we're ashamed of. But Paul here is saying, I'm dedicated and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is still the answer to every problem, every circumstance, every situation, everything that any individual may be facing. Jesus Christ is the answer to that situation and problem. Why? This power of the gospel, it produces good news. Most news are bad. I don't know what's been taking place since I've been here. I haven't seen a newspaper. I hadn't heard a newscast. Don't know anything. But most of the news is not very good. But the heavenly news is still good tonight. But then most things, the activities are bad, and distractions and boycotts and marches and demands and demonstrations are all not very good. But we find that this good news is that there is gospel can give forth and bring peace and pardon to individuals' heart. There's a power in it. God has salvation over sin. He can put a stop to the sin business in an individual life. And we can be born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus. He has power over the devil. The devil is pretty powerful tonight, but he is still a defeated foe. Just remember that. The devil is a defeated foe. And one of these days, God's going to put him in his right place. And so there's power over the devil, power over sin. There's power over death. There's some people that can't, they're afraid to live and afraid to die. They can't enjoy life because of things they don't know about, they're uncertain about, and they're certainly not ready to die. But there is power over death. There is power over hell. I'm glad that Jesus has made a way whereby we can escape the awful condemnation of hell, and it gives us the assurance that we can go to heaven. And then this commitment produces its provisional for everybody. Doesn't matter who they are, where they are, what their background may be, what they know, don't know, what they have or don't have. It's for everyone that will. He said it's a whosoever will. He said, I'm a debtor both to Greek and to barbarian, to the wise and the unwise. And said, I'm ready to preach the gospel everywhere, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. I think one of the greatest tragedies in the professed church of Jesus Christ tonight is the tragedy of a lot of good people not being involved in the cause of God. Good people may come to church every Sunday, pay the tithe, and they do a lot of things, but they're not really, really involved in the kingdom of God. It's easier to say, well, let Brother and Sister Cable do that, or let the children's worker do that, let the others do that. Well, God is wanting you and me to do all that we can. And the great burden is that there are few that are willing to get involved. Don't want to get involved. And you said, well, I did some things and it backfired on me. I got hurt in it. That may be true, but we still need to be involved. A number of years ago, I read the account in New York City of a young lady that worked in an office building. Sometimes she had to work after hours and it was dark. And they, because of the not secure system where she worked, they had a guard that would escort the young ladies as they came down on Hoffman to their cars. But then she had a ways to drive to her apartment, high-rise apartment where she lived, and there wasn't a guard there. And one night after she had worked late, she got out of a car and made it into the lobby of the apartment building. And there, as she was trying to get on the elevator, she was attacked by a man. And this man attacked her and had a knife. And I forget the time, I believe it at least 10 times this man stabbed her. And each time he stabbed her, she screamed. And she'd keep repeating, stabbing her, screaming, stab, scream. And finally, she succumbed there, and they found her. When they found her, she was there in the elevator. And they began to search around, began to knock on doors. And they began to go up stores and knock on doors. Did you hear anything? And they found some individuals that said, yes, we heard some. What'd you hear? We heard a girl screaming, a lady screaming. And then it was, did you do anything? And they didn't find anyone that came to the rescue of that girl. And you know what their answer was without fail? When they asked, why didn't you go? Why didn't you do something to help her? Their answer was, I did not want to get involved because I might get hurt. And I'm afraid in the professed church, Brother Cable, oh, Lord, and I know, I realize that pumping 85 years of age, I can't do what I used to do. I've struggled with the physical and then this revival, and it bothers me that I couldn't do a better job of preaching to you. But oh, I thought, oh, God, until you call me home, let me be able to do something till I can show this generation the power of God and live a life and keep the victory and love God and love everybody and be committed to the cause and the kingdom of God. I say again, if revival comes, and I believe God wants to give a revival, I believe these few days, certainly not because I was here and preached to you, but this could be the beginning of a revival. If every one of us that are here tonight will declare ourselves committed to God, purpose to do the blessed will of God. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Do it. I was in revival a number of years ago in Ponchatoula, Louisiana. And the older Wax that lives there, Alan Wax up here at Bethany, his parents live in Ponchatoula. And I was there in their home for a meal, and I saw a plaque on the wall. And I liked that, and he gave me a copy of it, got a copy of it. And I want to give it to you in closing tonight with my thought of being committed to Christ. I've heard later that they said they thought this was written by a black pastor in Africa. I don't know. If he was, he was an educated man, the way he wrote. But here it is. In my commitment as a Christian, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small plantings, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way rough, my companions few, but my guide reliable and my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Commitment. And I'd like for us to close this revival and do it on our knees in a season of prayer. And I want you to say during this closing prayer, Lord, I'm committed to you. What you want, maybe what he's been urging you, nudging you about for some time maybe. So, Lord, I'm going to mind you. Whatever you say to me, Lord, I will do it. And I believe God will hear and answer prayer and give victory. I want Brother Ronald Johnson to start the prayer and everyone join, and then I want your good pastor to conclude the prayer. But in between with them, I want everybody that can. I know that some can't kneel. My wife, not her knee won't let her kneel. Those that can't kneel, you bow reverently. But everyone that can, let's bow. Young people, children, all, everyone that can bow, and let's believe the Lord to meet us. Amen. You want to come? Everyone bow on your knees and trust the Lord. Join Brother Ronald Johnson in praise, and then Brother Cable.
Our Father God, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, and our hearts as it is in heaven. Blessed Lord and Holy Savior, we pray, help us to get hold of the handle of prayer. In Jesus' name come. Lord, thank you for this heaven-anointed, inspirational message from God and this minister of his. Lord, I am committed. Oh, blessed Jesus in heaven, may we have so much of God, the Father, God the Holy Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, burning in our souls, our spiritual minds, our very being, our hearts. May we from pure and holy hearts commit however long we have, O God and Savior, to what you want done. That we would not give up. We think, Lord and Savior, of those times in our young life when we were hardly older than Michael. How this wicked man broke into our home with an axe in his hand. And somehow, by the grace of God, mother and sister and we three boys escaped. And God helped us. Lord, help us to be committed to you in these last days, even though it's a dangerous world. Life is dangerous. Especially if we don't have God in our heart, in our very souls. Save us, Lord and Savior, we pray, from forgive us every wickedness, every sin. If that one is here tonight who does not know thee as Lord and Savior, pull on their hearts, move in their souls, Save them from a life of sin. Save them from those regrets. May they have this testimony from this great minister from Africa that we heard tonight. Lord, help us to realize that from our youth, God's promise to the youth, special outpourings, special graces and gifts. Bless these young people. May they, in Jesus' name, experience what Brother Ross's mother experienced, what Brother Ross experienced. And God will so bless and help that when danger comes, and danger will come. Oh, Father God, you will be there to bless and help if we'll but give our hearts to you, Lord. Commit our all to you, Heavenly Father. Yes, yes. Satan will come with everything, peer pressure, to pull aside and discourage and encourage towards sin and every evil thing. But Lord, you are God and you promise to keep us if we'll but give our hearts and lives, minds and spirits, our bodies to thee. And we do. We commit to thee, O God and Savior, our all this evening. Thank you for this revival effort. Our heart has been blessed these nights. Lord, help us to realize how important it is to make services. Lord, you said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's a blessing every time. There's a move of the Spirit of God, a touch from heaven on our hearts every time we come to worship. Lord and Savior, help us to put you first and commit, oh God, to building the kingdom, building this church. Give us souls, give us souls, give us souls. Give us families, O Lord and Savior, those that would give their heart to God and their work to the kingdom. For you are coming. You are coming. You promised, and you have never broken thy word, and you can't, for you are God. God the Father, God the Savior Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, how you love us. And Jesus, you're at the right hand of the Father even now, making intercession for us, praying for us. Not one of us worthy of your love and your prayer. But thank you. Thank you. Get us to heaven. Get all of these, everyone that is here tonight, get to heaven. And every family member in that chain, get every one of us and our family members to heaven, Lord, and help us to reach outside that and pull in many more, for these are the last days. You are coming. We ask in the holy name of our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Continue to lift in prayers. Your good pastor will close it out.
Blessed Lord, we love you tonight, and truly, 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 we're debtors to thee, dear Lord. When we were lost in sin, far from God, without any hope in this world, I thank you, dear Lord, that you reached down, got a hold of our hearts, drew us to you. Dear Lord, all of us gathered here tonight are deeply indebted to you for drawing us. Oh, I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord, to be faithful. Yes, yes. I don't know who that man was that wrote that, Brother Ross preached, read, dear Lord, but I pray that you'd help us somehow to be like that man, to have such a determination to live for God and live a life to be counted for God, dear Lord, and to accomplish things for you. Dear Lord, there's so many things calling for our attention in these days. Dear Lord, there's so many ways, directions we can go and things we could get, dear Lord. But I pray that you'd help us to have an aim to get closer to God and to do the things that you'd have us to do, to be what you'd have us to be, to let our light shine for God. Dear Lord, you placed us here. You brought this little group together. You've given this beautiful property to us, dear Lord, this church. Dear Lord, we're not here for entertainment. We're here, dear Lord, to draw nigh to God so that you can draw nigh to us. And we're here, dear Lord, to be a lighthouse for those around about us, to carry a burden, to help people find God and make it to heaven. I pray that you'd help us to help that to be our goal, dear Lord, and help us to accomplish that goal. You know what you have planned, dear Lord, in the days ahead. I pray, oh God, that you'd be with every one of our people tonight, dear Lord, in the days and weeks and months ahead. Help us, dear Lord, to say no to the devil every time. Help us to say yes to God every time, dear Lord. Keep us close to you. Keep us in the Word of God. Help us to be faithful to read the Word of God. Help us to be faithful in the place of prayer. Increase our faith, dear Lord, and fill us with the Holy Ghost over and over and over again, dear Lord. Give us power from on high. We need help, Lord. We need your power. There's so many things we cannot do on our own. But, dear Lord, you promised to help us if we'd stay close to you. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd do just that. Have your way in all that we do. Dear Lord, we believe your coming is soon. We believe the night's coming, dear Lord. We don't know how much longer we have on this earth. We know you're coming. We believe it's soon. Help us, dear Lord, oh God, to carry a burden for those around about us like we ought to, dear Lord. Help us to be concerned about those with whom we associate, our friends, our families. Oh God, help us to carry the burden we ought to and be faithful to pray for them and hold on to God and believe God to answer prayer. Dear Lord, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Work a mighty work in our midst, not so that we can brag on us, but so we can thank God, watch you work, and see people one to the kingdom of God. We love you, dear Lord. We love you. Have your way, Lord, every day, every hour in our hearts, oh God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.